Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Something to say?
Follow us on Twitter
at TNT Radio Empire
and tweet back. You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
We have a TV on in the studio and it just features MSNBC in the morning because we're libtards. And Titus must be watching the same thing in the background because he tweets immediately right after Nick says, "Why is Mark Twain giving us advice on COVID?" Because there's a guy that looks like Mark Twain on there. And it's a Storm Lake, Iowa reporter or something like that.
He's the editor of the Storm Lake Times.
Which, by the way, must have been, what was it, when it was printed in 1888 or something like that. I'm not sure if I have the Mark Twain timeline right, but that sounds about right, right? Late 1800s with Mark Twain?
I think so.
Yeah, I thought it might be right.
Yeah.
I have to read my
Turn of the Century.
I'll have to read my Tom Sawyer later on. All right.
Yeah, but he gotta get caught up on that.
He was dressed exactly like him. You mentioned it. Titus tweeted out, "Hey, I must need some sleep, or did Mark Twain just give me a COVID update?" But he's talking about the Iowa pork plants, and if they don't go to work, they lose their unemployment, which is really quality American.
Yeah, that guy looks like the ultimate hipster.
He does. Yeah, the ultimate.
Just go full Mark Twain.
Full Mark Twain. Well, if you're gonna, pick a. Pick a fictional character to dress like,
Wonder if he's single. That guy's on Tinder?
Yeah.
Was that Mark Twain?
Well, I don't think a girl on Tinder would know who Mark Twain is. And Chris Porter. It's Christopher Titus. It's Chris Porter. Got it. He's calling later on. We also had Dr. Mina on. She was informative, smart. And like Craig said, only has two doctorates, so duh, we let her on anyway. Well, we'll take your opinion if you want to just call and give us your opinion.
Gut feeling.
If you have a gut feeling about what's happening in the world.
Hunches. We'll take your hunches.
Right.
The Adventures of Tom Sawyer, 1876.
Yes. That's pretty damn good.
Nice.
It's Cooter Polly's birthday today.
Okay.
Who?
Raj.
Raj.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Rajesh. Kunal Nayar. I don't know.
They could have just
close enough.
They could have just called him that.
It's catchy.
It's also Kirsten Dunst's birthday.
Saw her once.
Boy, say that one.
Saw her once.
Didn't see her twice.
Who's older, Cooter Polly or Kirsten Dunst? You might know her from Spider-Man.
It's a great one. And they obviously, because we have no.
And I shouldn't call him Cooter Polly, but.
No, let's call him Raj.
Who's Raj?
Because.
Big Bang Theory.
Oh, okay.
And he's been around. He was young on that show. They all were young when it started. So we have no concept. I still have no concept of how old he is because I've kind of figured out what she might be. And I'm guessing she's in her late 30s, maybe 40. And I'm guessing he's similar. That's why you always do this.
Rarely.
Man.
Yeah, it's not Kirsten Dunst and Betty White.
I'll say Kirsten Dunst is older.
I'll say Raj is over.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Raj.
I think I'm wrong, but I do think I'm wrong, but I'll be more pissed if I didn't pick my first. So I'll say Kirsten Dunst.
I'm going to go with Dunst as well.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
I hope I didn't talk you into that.
No, we just saw Jumanji.
Okay.
And that movie came out a long time ago.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. And I don't know the other guys.
Oh, you don't see the Big Bang Theory?
Mm-mm. You'd even see it maybe in previews.
It's on everywhere all the time.
It's on
How do you avoid all the channels?
It?
Yeah.
But they're guessing. These guys are guessing, too. We're all just guessing on this one.
It's on all the channels.
I just watch shows about
all the time.
Brutal murders.
This is a sitcom.
Yeah.
Let's see. Kutrapali is 39.
Oh, it's good on the ages, though, wasn't it?
Very good.
Yeah.
Kirsten Dunst, 38.
Yes.
Ah! Yeah.
Damn it.
High five, Todd.
You guys suck.
Air high five.
Man.
Yeah, don't touch each other, man.
You know, Nick shouldn't beat himself up too much about this.
Yes, he should.
Except for not knowing who Kutrapali is.
I didn't know that was his last name.
No, we said Rajo. Just say Raj.
Kutrapali is his character's
last name.
Right. But you could just see previews and know he's on the show. I mean, you don't even have to watch that show ever. Because it runs, the previews are on all the time.
I know
that there's that hot blonde girl that wears the Nebraska shirt sometimes.
That's her,
Kaylee Cuoco.
Kaylee Cuoco.
The dude from Roseanne is on that show.
Yes. Johnny Galecki.
Exactly. It's his birthday today as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Who, Galecki?
Yeah.
And that's about all I know about that show.
Yeah, but I didn't know the real name of Raj either. I didn't know the actor's name. Kunal.
I still don't. I'm looking at it, and I still don't know his name.
Kunal Nair.
She'd bring those,
okay.
I could be butchering
bring
that.
Bring those up when Dr. Mina's here because she can speak the language. She knows the names of Indian people, and we don't.
And for the record, for our Deadpool players.
Although she never checks in with us and says, how do you pronounce Bill Smith?
Mm.
Yeah, because
she's got English.
Yeah, because she's smarter than we are.
Help me out with how to pronounce these cracker last names.
For our Deadpool players, just a note.
Oh, no.
Well, this is just age-related.
Okay.
Cloris Leachman.
Oh, she's still around, huh?
Exactly. Is 94.
I was going to say she's in her 90s, yeah.
Today.
She was great for years.
Yeah, so. That Harrison Ford.
Did she whip her boobs out in the last picture show? Let me know, puss. She was
Cloris Leachman.
She played an old MILF in the last picture show, a classic flick from the late 60s, starred a young Jeff Bridges.
Sybil Shepherd.
Sybil Shepherd's in that, too. But I thought that
Peter Bogdanovich directed it.
Cloris Leachman whipped her boobs out before.
I don't think there was any nudity in the last picture show.
It
was
very sexy.
There?
It was a very sexy movie, though. I don't know if there was or not.
Let's see. Two stars, brief nudity.
Last picture show?
She is listed as sexy in the last picture show.
Yeah.
Nude in The People Next Door, 1970, and Crazy Mama, 1975.
Crazy Mama, she was in. That was a wild movie, yeah. That's a drive-in flick. By the way, they're doing a mission on drive-ins. Some high school district outside of Kansas City is doing drive-in graduation at a drive-in theater.
Really? Oh.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I thought it was a cool idea.
Did the kids walk up and everything?
I don't know how. They didn't give the logistics. I didn't want to read the whole. I didn't read at the bottom of it. But the parents come in and they park. They're doing it for a whole week, so it must be a big school district.
Yeah.
And the parents come in, park. And I guess the kids have to do something, probably get out of the car and wave, or I don't know. But
do you get to drive through the line? Is the line a drive-through?
No, that would be fun.
Stick out the window and wave.
Nobody would be watching then. I think they have people, I think they want the movie packed with cars, and that's the people watching their kids graduate.
That's a good idea.
No. Yeah. Well, I would think it would be okay for you to get up or drive.
No, I think one person could probably go up and then walk back.
And the guy your diploma like it's a Mexican meal, and then you drive back to the parking spot.
Yeah,
next stop.
I think it's cool.
Yeah,
you can have people in the trunk, sneak your relatives in, don't want to pay to get in.
Right.
Yeah.
Or since they don't want to go, you've knocked them out and thrown them in the trunk.
Oh, that's true. Nobody wants
a kidnapping situation.
Nobody wants to go.
It's more of a kidnapping situation.
Yeah,
exactly.
If they charged admission to graduation, no one would go.
No.
I understand the. No.
The FAA investigating another airplane incident involving that Harrison Ford guy.
Now what do you do?
He's like Billy Joel with cars, right?
Yeah. Well, except for Harrison doesn't appear to be drunk.
No, he's never drunk, though. He's just a bad pilot. Flies recklessly.
Well,
he might
be getting old.
He's also flying old planes all the time.
Yeah, in this case, that makes no difference.
Got it.
Harrison had just landed at this is in Southern California.
Old pilot and old plane is not a good combination.
No. But in this case, the old plane has nothing to do with it.
Okay.
Harrison had just landed at the Hawthorne Airport, as in Southern California. Friday, he left the runway for a taxiway, and he taxied to the other end of the runway. There was another plane a few miles behind him that was practicing the touch-and-go landings. On the audio, you can hear the tower operator tell Harrison Ford, "Can you hold short on the runway? Traffic is on the runway." And so Harrison accelerated onto the runway and began crossing. You can then hear the tower operator angrily say that Harrison, not knowing it's Harrison Ford, ignored his instructions. And then the actor says, "Oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I heard exactly the opposite."
Hey, Hans, pull around. Turn around, Hans.
He's losing his hearing, apparently.
I heard the exact opposite is not what you want to hear a pilot say.
No.
Not at all.
Thanks, pilot. What'd you say?
Now, the other plane was far enough away to where it wasn't an issue.
Still.
Yeah, his
they
family.
Say that the incident is under investigation.
Oh, man.
Now, his previous incident, he had to put it down on a golf course, right?
That was one.
Was that a mechanical issue? Or was that pilot error like 99% of plane accidents are?
No, I think that was a he had a
World that War, was the old plane.
He was flying a British Spitfire or something. It was a really old plane.
An old crank start. Yeah. The Red Baron was after him.
And by the way, I hate to hammer the guy because we saw the interview recently on CBS Sunday Morning before the pandemic, and I mean he's got his faculties, he's in shape. He just can't hear, and that's also dangerous.
Okay, there was the golf course thing.
But then there was also
at John Wayne Airport a few years ago. When he didn't land on the runway, he landed on the taxiway.
That's right.
And on the radio called himself a schmuck for doing that.
Okay, I don't remember that.
Captain Sum Ting Wong, We Too Low, Ho Li Fook, and Bang Ding Ow.
Yeah. Hans is coming in.
His family needs to take Grandpa's keys.
Yeah.
It's a plane.
Or he needs like a
list of Lockhart says, "Hey, honey, take your keys.
Just get a Wookiee for a co-pilot because they can hear."
That'd be funny. He hops out of the plane with a guy dressed as a Wookiee.
Yeah, but see, the problem with taking Grandpa's keys is Grandpa's the gravy train.
Oh, big time.
You take away Grandpa's keys, Grandpa takes you out of the will.
Yep.
Is he by himself in these planes?
I assume so.
I bet you his wife doesn't fly with him. No, you go, hon.
It'd probably be hard to get anybody to get in a plane with you.
No.
And you can't take the kids.
And we all love him, by the way. And I would say, Harrison, I'd rather just talk. can we have a beer? Because I did the interview they did by his horse barn. We'll ride a horse with you. I can ride a horse with you. Not that good, but I can ride one. But I don't want to get in a plane with you.
Yeah, he's getting pretty lucky.
Right.
And how many close calls at a plane can you have?
Exactly. I mean, celebrities a lot younger than that fly these things into the ground. Regular people fly them into the ground.
Yeah. They
aren't celebrities.
Hope he's not listening to John Denver.
No, exactly. Exactly.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Tyler said something earlier today. I think he was talking to Dr. Mina, and it reminded me of a little article or something I saw the other day. Looked it up real quick. Back in the late 1700s, doctors literally blew smoke up people's asses.
Oh, they mentioned that on, I think it was a report on quackery and snake oil. It was on CBS Sunday Morning.
Maybe that's what reminded me of it.
This past Sunday. Yeah.
Yeah.
They were discussing enemas.
Did you pull your ass apart for the smoke to get up there?
Well, you got to get up in there somehow.
That's what I mean.
How fat is your ass?
Well, they probably put I'm talking about the hole.
No, they
put a tube in your hole and then blew smoke into it.
Yes.
They showed illustrations. They stick something
And it wasn't just to get high like you guys do, right?
Yeah. Okay. And the guy takes a hit off a hookah or something and then gets onto the tube that goes up your ass and literally blows smoke up your ass.
Spread the cheeks and blow.
Is that where the statement came
from?
Yeah.
Got it. It means it's doing nothing. So now we know it means it's doing nothing. That's where the statement come from then. I got it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I never knew that's where it came from.
That's why I bring this up because, who doesn't like to talk about that?
I know.
And they went through a variety of different enemas, but this was a smoke enema.
It was a general mainstream medical procedure used to, among other things, resuscitate people who were otherwise presumed dead.
There's a mouth up here, dude.
That stuck to the tape. Whoa, did that stick to the tape?
That was clear.
I know, but you
and
know,
emphatic.
But I was talking medical
emphatic.
Purposes.
Emphatic.
Blowing smoke
you guys,
up somebody's
you guys turned
ass.
Everything gay.
Yeah. Blowing smoke up somebody's ass
Roll
was
over.
Such a commonly used resuscitation method for drowning victims, particularly, that the equipment used was hung alongside certain major waterways like the River Thames.
Wow.
Oh, you just
kind of like a defibrillator that you see now.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. The smoke blowing devices were just around.
Like a fire extinguisher.
What years was this again?
This is in the late 1700s.
Okay, got it.
Smoke was blown up the rectum by inserting a tube that was connected to a fumigator and a bellows, which then compressed forced smoke into the rectum.
Oh, because the illustrations I saw, there was literally a guy who looked like he was smoking out of an ass. He had something in his mouth and the tube was in another guy's ass.
Most physicians felt that the rectal method was more effective than the more direct route of blowing smoke into the nose and mouth. The nicotine in the tobacco was thought to stimulate the heart to beat stronger and faster, thus encouraging respiration. The smoke was also thought to warm the victim and dry out the person's insides, removing excessive moisture.
Wow, that's dumb.
Thank you.
Yeah. You think people, if there was just by a waterway, you think people would do that for fun?
Well, now.
Yeah. Back then, they thought they were doing it for their health.
The Native Americans were known to have used tobacco in a variety of ways, including treating various medical ailments, and the European doctors soon picked up on this and started blowing smoke up people's asses for everything from headaches to cancer.
I love that it's actually literal in this story, blowing smoke up your ass.
Yeah.
I love it, man.
Give that guy the smoke up his ass.
When did they figure out, hey, this ain't doing S, for lack of a better term there?
Yeah. 72.
Yeah.
And it was in 1745 that Richard Meade was among the first known Westerners to suggest that administering tobacco via an enema was an effective way to resuscitate drowning victims.
Well, who was the heretic that said it's not?
Artificial respiration was used if the tobacco enema did not successfully revive them.
It seems completely backwards. This guy's drowning. Yeah. Shove something up his ass.
Well, when did blowing smoke up your ass become the figure of speech?
Probably when they found
that
out it was quackery. Like, because obviously blowing smoke means it doesn't mean anything. We're telling you it means something, but it doesn't mean anything. So I'm going to blow smoke up your ass. So that's obviously where it came from, and they figured out it was a quack.
Tobacco smoke enemas were not always administered with the aid of bellows. Originally, the smoke was blown up the victims with whatever was handy, pipe.
Like Todd's mouth.
Like a smoking pipe.
Right.
Like your buddy.
Well, like your smoking pipe.
Somebody give me a hollow branch.
One of the earliest documented references of using such a tobacco enema to resuscitate someone came from someone using a smoking pipe in 1746. In this case,
do you smoke weed and shotgun your buddy's ass? Shotgun.
In this case,
haven't yet.
Yeah, what he's describing, you would have to literally put your lips on your buddy's anus.
No.
Yes.
You sure?
Yes.
How many times have you heard me say the word pipe?
Go on.
One
I've
now.
Said the pipe a lot. I've said the word pipe a lot.
No, but I meant
you people aren't paying attention.
No, I heard it's a tube in there.
This is not new, Craig.
Okay. Yeah, there's tubes and pipes.
Okay.
The earliest documented references came from someone using a smoking pipe in 1746. In this case, The man's wife had nearly drowned and was unconscious. It was suggested that an emergency tobacco enema might revive her. So the husband of the woman took a pipe filled with burning tobacco, put the stem up there, and then covered the other end of the pipe with his mouth and blew. Hot embers of tobacco being blown up there had the intended effect, and she was indeed revived.
Really? Oh, okay. Well, the heat.
Well, they didn't. They didn't realize that it may have been, you know, the embers.
Right.
So a little mouth to ass resuscitation.
This practice reached its peak in the early 20th century.
Whoa.
Before it was discovered that nicotine was toxic to the cardiac system.
So they did it for 100 years.
That's in some form or fashion, time. Yeah.
Wonder if that guy's wife was into that after that.
And they don't show it.
Do that thing again.
They also don't show it in old westerns, you know.
Would you quit fainting already?
All you got to do, you don't have to pretend to drown.
That's the fourth time today.
All you got to do is ask.
Every John Wayne movie should feature someone getting smoke blown up their ass.
Yeah, right?
Everyone. Based in the late 1800s.
Everyone. Yeah,
bend over, partner.
I don't remember that part in Back to the Future 3.
Yeah, there you go.
No.
Thank you, Craig. Appreciate that. That
good, absolutely.
That was a good story.
Thanks for bringing that up.
I love it.
Chris Porter, when we get back.
You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
Hey, it's Todd and Tyler.
And thank you for listening to the podcast.
Please take a second to tell us how much you like the podcast.
And don't forget to comment.
Thanks again. On to the next podcast episode.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.